According to our guest this half hour, the national transportation system is facing its own devastating fiscal cliff. And they'll explain why we're in a crisis and what they think we should do about it. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, March the 4th. And we will wonder if you agree or not that an electronic toll system for those who use the nation's highways would be a good way to fund the system. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guests. We have with us Dennis Slater and Nick Yaksich. They are both with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, a Milwaukee-based trade group that represents major road building firms and other equipment manufacturers. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, let me start with the system as it is right now. Why do you say, Dennis Slater, that the system is facing its own devastating fiscal cliff?
Well, first, thanks for having us on today. I think the message that gets lost so much about the fiscal cliff and what happens with road building is the fact that for the last 20 years, and even longer than that, we have financed our roads through a gas user fee. And basically, that user fee hasn't increased in 20 years. That's at a national level. And with that happening, there just isn't enough money in the bank for this any longer to basically fund our roads. So the situation you have now is a once very safe modern infrastructure system is starting to crumble. And we aren't keeping up with repairs for it, and we're not also doing anything to expand its capacity. So roads get congested, they get less safe. We can't move our products to market any longer because it takes longer to get through through the road systems because they are so congested now. And that creates a situation where the U.S. becomes less competitive. So really, it's a huge economic issue here. And so as we face the fiscal cliff issue, when we're looking at making cutbacks and things, it's going to be very hard to get this financing in place, you know, for our road building for the future.
Why isn't, Dennis, the gas tax enough?
Well, I think a couple of things have happened. First, the last time the gas tax was increased, at a national level was in 1993. So think of anything you do or anything that any store runs today. If you had to stay with 1993 prices, you wouldn't be able to keep up with things. You wouldn't be able to do that. So with that matter, really, right now, the money going into that just isn't paying the fees. And we're taking money out of the general fund to pay for our roads.
And, Nick, now you... You were involved with this study that looked into the nation's transportation system. Why did you do the study?
Well, we did a study to address the solutions and the funding that Dennis had talked about there. There's a host, over the last two kind of federal bills, there's been two commissions that have studied the shortfall in funding, and they've come up with a laundry list of recommendations that they've put on the table for Congress to consider. And they've kind of been stymied with those considerations. So we took a look at some of those basic principles that Dennis touched on as far as the user fee principle, looking at kind of the movement towards toll roads to address and bringing in private capital, and came up with this recommendation that would focus on a significant federal role where we agree in interstate commerce, both in moving people and goods, that there should be a strong federal role to support and maintain that system.
Yeah. Now, I know that there was a Wisconsin Transportation Study Committee that looked into different ways to fund Wisconsin's transportation system. Nick, this is different than that particular effort.
Well, it's slightly different. I think the commission, did a tremendous job in Wisconsin in terms of looking at the balanced transportation system, and a couple of their recommendations are very similar, in terms of trying to come up with some kind of private investment user fee principle that should go towards the shortfall needs, which they also identified. In addition to what happened in some states, and Wisconsin's an example too, is the funds that have been dedicated have been rated and gone to other uses other than transportation. So that was one of their other key recommendations, is to protect those collected funds.
So one of your key recommendations is to have electronic toll roads.
That's one of our key options that we put before the Congress. We looked at, as the Wisconsin Transportation Group did too, the simplest, straightest, but probably more politically difficult is the increase of the gas tax. As Dennis said, 20 years it's been on the federal level. States, obviously, it varies. There's four or five states now that have on the ballot, and I think Wyoming and another state has recently raised the gas tax on the state level. So that's still a viable option, too, in the most direct way to support transportation investment. The other thing we're taking a look at the long term to modernize the system, focus it on federal program, and also modernize the way we collect fees would be this interstate kind of toll system that we've discussed.
Yeah, and to tell us a little bit more on how this interstate toll system would work.
Well, it would work pretty similar to the corridor that you have there. I believe it's I-95 to Chicago and Milwaukee, that it would be collected, on a user fee that you would have a chip, or what we call an easy pass, that would go into a fund. And so the use of the federal interstate program would go into a fund, and then that funds would be dispersed just like they are now between the federal-state partnership. So the state of Wisconsin would go through their approval program, they would set their priorities, and then instead of going into the Highway Trust Fund, it would go into this fund and use the funds to pay for the interstate. The other important feature of this, too, it's not replacing funds, it's supplementing funds. So what would happen is the funds that traditionally out of the Highway Trust Fund go into the interstate would then be free for Wisconsin to use on other priorities of transportation. So it could go into the highway, it could go into transit, non-interstate roads, that it would make more funding available then to do the maintenance repair of the rest of the system.
Well, I know that whenever we say toll roads on Wisconsin Public Radio, the phones light up. Dennis, how do you think these electronic toll roads will be received politically?
Well, as a lifetime Wisconsinite and having to go to O'Hare many times, so I have to use the toll system, I guess it's one of those of recognition. Wisconsin, we haven't raised the gas user fee or the gas tax here since 2006, and we see the condition of our roads, and it's just a matter of how do you want to pay for this. And I do think that a toll system at least allows the people using the road to pay for it. And I think it's probably the fairest way to do it. You have to look at what are your funding mechanisms. We try to do is bring several options forward, be it the user fee, be it tolls, looking at registration fees, but trying to find multiple approaches and not just show need but also show value. So I think in the end people would accept it if the money goes back and is dedicated, as Nick said, dedicated to the roads.
Yeah, how would the user fee be different than an electronic toll road?
Well, I guess now the user fee would mean is that's what you pay when you buy your gas, so that's your gas fee basically there, and that is also based on consumption. At the same time, though, the cars we have are so much more fuel efficient today that the same gas tax money is not going in that went in before. So that makes it difficult for that to fund the roads by itself.
All right, so user fee is the gas tax. The toll road would be another fee. And then the other proposal would be this a registration fee that is based on how many miles you drive?
Well, no, I think there is you just look at your registration fees that you have. Like the Wisconsin report talked about the heavy truck registration fees and increasing that. And also eliminating the sales tax exemption, for trade-ins on the vehicles. So it's looking at multiple solutions, so it isn't just one of these things that would have it. And as Nick said, you're supplementing what's out there today, recognizing that the paying your gas tax is not going to pay for the road repairs and improvements in years to come.
And Joy, that concept of the vehicle mile travel tracking and pay towards the fund is something that's Oregon is one state that is advancing this concept, which would be a true user fee. There's some significant privacy rights that have been raised against that proposal. So ours is kind of a step back. It's a hybrid of that, in a sense of, again, focusing on the user fee of the federal system and the federal interstate system, and that would go towards repair and maintenance of that, as well as a freight and also the trucks. I mean, the trucks are significant commerce, and they would have a fund that would go and relieve some bottlenecks and improve safety aspects for trucking along the interstate as well.
All right, so this idea that you would be charged and monitored how far you drive and charged based on that is something you're stepping back from?
Well, that's an option that's on the table, but as far as our focus is just on the federal interstate. There's studies that are out there that are being considered that are widespread that would be user fee based whether you're traveling on a county, state, or local road. That's something that's on the table that we're not talking about here. We're just talking specifically on the interstate and a program that's dealing with the interstate that would have easy pass toll features both on your access on and off the interstate that you would be paying for.
Okay, we are talking with Nick Yaksich. He is vice president of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, and Dennis Slater, who is president of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. It is a Milwaukee-based trade group that represents major road building firms and other equipment manufacturing companies. We're talking about this option of a national electronic toll system. And we're wondering if you like this idea or not, what questions you have about this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Checking our weather forecast for today. Snow. Mostly cloudy today. Some snow developing in the west. We will have a high temperature near 30 degrees. Light snow is expected to start falling in western Wisconsin during the day today and then move to the east with a couple of inches falling through south central and southeastern Wisconsin from this afternoon through this evening. And then the snowfall will likely become heavy tonight and anywhere from 6 to 12 inches of snow expected before this system is out of here by tomorrow night. Heavy snow, windy at times tomorrow with highs around 30 degrees. This is for primarily the southern half of the state. So I think this qualifies as coming in like a lion. We are talking about our nation's highways and with two guests who say that our national transportation system is facing its own fiscal cliff and that we need to do something about funding our nation's highways and are proposing that we adopt an electronic toll system for our nation's interstates. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. As I suspected, our lines are full. Let's go to George in Monroe first. Hello, George.
Good morning. I have a few quick points. For one thing, I think toll roads are an excellent idea. One of Wisconsin's favorite objectives is taxing people from Illinois, and they're heavy users of the toll system. It's users, and it's not necessarily just Wisconsin users. I think it's a little misleading to call it the electronic system. It's true that it is, but if you don't have an iPass, you're going to be stopping and paying cash. You can be given an incentive, as Illinois does, to double the toll if you don't have an iPass. The iPasses are tremendously convenient, and they're very easy to use, very well administered. I think the idea of a tax on miles instead of on gas is just crazy. We're getting less revenue because people are going to fuel-efficient cars, and now you want to give them a disincentive to do that by taxing them the same as somebody who drives a three-quarter-ton pickup. That is just idiocy. And the final thing I would say is that it gives me a little pause about the need for all this road spending when I look around, and what I see as evidence of it are roundabouts out in the middle of nowhere where there used to just be two county roads intersecting. And I hope that if this money gets raised, it gets spent on something more useful than that.
Thank you very much, George. Lots of points to talk about. First of all, Nick, how would this toll system work? Do we everybody has to have the easy pass, or are we going to be stopping at toll booths?
Well, I think with technology today, I think as your caller, George, indicated, the efficiency and having that system, the systems are in place, so there'd be incentives to encourage that people would have the chip and the automatic to be able to go through and kind of seamless. Because also we find, too, and studies have shown that there's added pollution and concern at the delays of the toll booths. So we would look and encourage that there be a seamless kind of system going through as an easy pass system.
Are we going to have a lot more roundabouts after this?
Well, I think the key in our proposal and our recommendation is that we're talking about the federal role. So when you look about roundabouts, those are generally county or state roads. So the focus here that we're talking is on the federal, which would be the interstate, where I don't believe we have many intended roundabouts.
And Dennis, anything on George's points?
Well, and George has made some good comments, and I think one of the things, too, the idea of taxing us on our miles is not something that we look at and say that's the best solution, but we recognize that the government just doesn't have the wherewithal out there to increase the user fee for the first time since 1993, so you start to look at other solutions, and our idea is to give several solutions so the government can look at these and try to explore which option will work.
Let's take another call, this one from Roger in Fredonia. Hello, Roger.
Hello. Yes, I would like to say I was listening, of course, to the people commenting and your comments, and I think it's fair to say that maybe it's a little bit of an exaggeration if I say this. I find this to be an outrage, and there's no love lost between me and the GOP. But when I hear this talk, every time I turn around, new taxes, new taxes, new fees, it drives me to them. I don't know what people don't understand about the idea of no new taxes. And I'll conclude by saying that any elected official who goes along with this idea, I will make it my mission to vote against them.
All right. Thank you, Roger. Dennis, well, Roger doesn't sound very happy about this.
No, and totally understood. I mean, I face the same frustrations Roger does when it comes to our taxes. I think what you look at here is, we have this road system. We need the road system to move our people to their jobs, to move our goods to the markets so we can stay competitive. It's how do you fund that? And you just can't fund it on $1993 now. So I think the idea of either going to a toll road or just increasing the user fee, I think, is very important, or else you're just not going to be able to fund them. And then it'll happen is there'll be a bigger tax later on. I don't think this is really an issue of it's called taxing us. It's an issue of we use the roads and we should pay to use our roads. And that's really the simple answer for that. It's a user fee versus just taxing us. And there are user fees that are needed.
And I would just like to add that, again, there's concerns with increased revenue and increased taxes, and that's at the forefront of the debate. But when you listen to both conservatives, both sides, there's two things that there seems to be general agreement on, and as far as spending, and that's on defense and transportation or moving commerce. And those are two areas where you can get the investment. You know, obviously our national security is top priority, but also the economic benefits of moving and being competitive, as Dennis mentions, are critical to the health of this country.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dennis, to talk a little bit more about that, if we don't keep up with the national or the federal system, it hurts the economy?
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Joy. The issue here is if I have a plant in central Wisconsin and I make a product that is going to be shipped throughout the nation and the world, if I don't have a good road system or port system or rail system that I can easily and quickly move raw materials in to make my product and then ship that product back out, if I'm stuck on congested roads and that, my cost per product goes up. If that cost per product goes up, I can't really afford to build this product in central Wisconsin. I was at the Wisconsin Manufacturer of the Year Awards this last week, and all of them talked about the need to be able to get their products to be competitive worldwide. And our level of investment in the U.S. is ranked only 23rd throughout the world as far as investing in our roads and bridges and our infrastructure. So in the end, really the funny thing is an adequate road system isn't just about safety and moving around. It's about being able to stay competitive and having jobs.
Yeah, you know, the president was talking about investing in our transportation system and fixing up the infrastructure, saying there was a need there and the need for jobs as well. Why not just do that, Dennis?
Well, I think the president has it right as far as the need for infrastructure investment. What we're trying to find is a long-term sustainable solution for this. You just can't inject $50 billion in a year and think, okay, we solved the problem. The thing is, this needs to be sustainable. The roads and bridges, you know, have to be repaired on a year-to-year basis, and some of them are, especially bridges right now, are reaching their maximum lifetime and need to be replaced. Unless there's an infusion of money into that on a regular basis, you won't be able to do this.
Back to the phones. Mike in Appleton is with us. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, so I was wondering if there's any type of fees or taxes collected from the signs that are along the highways.
Mean billboards?
One of the questions. Yes.
Or are you talking about like those highway signs that say a restaurant is on this exit?
Yes, because you see a lot of these major corporations, fast food restaurants, gas stations, and that have a lot of their advertising right along the highway. And what kind of fees and taxes are, if there's any, collected from those?
Nick, is there? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't. Not that it directly goes to the transportation. It's a good point, Mike. There's back in the Lady Bird Johnson set the whole kind of scenic byways and kind of control of the billboards and the signage. It's my understanding there's no revenue generated from that to goes into transportation.
Thanks, Mike. Tim in Genoa City. Hello, Tim.
Hi there. Good morning. Thank you for the call. I love listening to you guys.
Well, thanks for calling.
My question is, I drive a truck and I drive semi, and every year we pay a federal highway use tax, $22.94. It's called. Every truck in the country that's over 55,000 pounds pays $550. In 1988, I believe there was 3 to 7 million trucks registered, and every one of them had to pay a $550 fee for every truck. I'm sure now there's well over 10 to 12, maybe 15 million trucks could very well be registered with the large companies out there. I'm wondering where all that money is going. Has anyone asked where that money goes to?
All right. We have just less than a minute before a news break. Dennis, is that helping?
Well, yes, it is. It is. And it's part of it. As Nick has talked about, there are multiple sources of income for this. And, in fact, the American Truckers Association is in favor of the same issues we're talking about here. So we feel we're really in the same camp here as far as what has to go forward. The tax that Tim Facer's truck right now is part of the solution, but recognizing that that's just not going to keep up, especially as the user fee doesn't keep up with the, with the gas tax right now.
So would you support interstate toll roads? Why or why not? What questions do you have about this this idea? We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with two guests from a Milwaukee-based trade group who say the nation's highways are in need of repairs and expansion. And it's going to take more than the traditional gas tax to pay for this. And they are advocating for an electronic toll system on the nation's interstates. And we wonder what you think of this. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, March the 4th. What do you think of interstate tolls? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Any questions about the transportation fiscal cliff? Let us know. Joining us, Dennis Slater, who is president of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, a Milwaukee-based trade group that represents major road building firms and other equipment manufacturing companies, and Nick Yaksich, who is vice president of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. And our next caller is Dennis in Springfield Corners. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. The idea of the national toll road stinks. Typical of the road builders consortium that we expand and then we have to maintain it. We have plenty good roads the way they are. We should maintain them. I don't like the idea of the iPass linking to my credit card account. I have an iPass. Another issue is we need to go to alternate forms of transportation rather than just continue to rely on our good road system that we have now. And I want, if this all comes about that we have these toll roads and stuff, I want them administered by a government administration, not some private company that's subcontracted out by a diminished government.
All right, Dennis, thanks very much. Dennis, our caller, Dennis Slater, says that that our nation's roads are, you know, that we have plenty of good roads. Let's just, you know, keep them up. We don't need to be expanding them.
Well, you know, I do appreciate where Dennis is coming from that. Yeah, the goal here isn't just to expand our roads. I think the goal, first of all, is to deal with some of the roads that are in poor condition. In Wisconsin alone, 31% of our major roads are in poor to mediocre condition, and 14% of our bridges are structurally deficient and basically functionally obsolete. So the idea here, I think, is not so much about capacity and expanding roads, but we can't even pay right now to repair the roads. So I think that's a big issue with that. And I do understand where Dennis is coming from with the electronic toll system as far as getting into your information. And Nick talked about that before. It's going to be important to find a solution and how you do this without people monitoring where we come and go. You know, we would support right now just increasing the user fee on the gas and being done with it. But since Congress, I don't think, is ever going to go down that route. You know, they're telling us that they just aren't interested in any kind of tax there. We have to look at the other solutions to make this work.
Mm. And would this be something that the government monitors or a private company monitors?
Well, I think on the state level, you know, people have their choice with that. I would look at it to probably be a public system of monitoring that. Mm. But for us, we look at the solutions on what approaches to take and haven't really got into who would take care of the monitoring of that.
And Nick, maybe you can sort of summarize a little bit for us the proposal and what roads would actually be, would we be charged these tolls?
It'd be your interstate system. So anything Interstate 94, I-70, and the key too is that, I mean, this is a national system, you know, a network of roads. And so when you're traveling from Wisconsin down to Florida on spring break or Arizona, I mean, those are the major, you know, the high capacity roads that these funds would be focused on.
Mm-hmm. And right now there are roads like Illinois and some other other tollways in other states. How would this jive with that?
Well, and that's the thing. What's happening and what we're trying to avoid by this idea is a patchwork of tolls across the country, and you're starting to see it. I believe six states now have the ability, and they've applied to the federal government because there's a prohibition now against tolling. And so six states have applied and have received the right to go ahead and use some of these toll facilities. States are desperate for money, and this is the one direction they're looking at is more toll financing, especially you look at bridges, the expensive and the exorbitant cost to repair a bridge. Private companies will come in, they'll pay for that, but they're going to look for a return on their investment, and that's a lot of traffic, and by tolling, then they can recoup their investment. So you're starting to see patchworks of tolls already. Our idea is just let's make a national system there for efficiency and moving and prioritizing the money on the federal system.
Mm, we have an email from Ian in Wapaka who says, I drive a truck on the toll roads every day in Chicago, and I've realized that 90% of the toll roads are run by private companies. How is this going to generate revenue? So with this integrated system, somehow the private companies would have to, that do exist, would have to enter the money into the highway trust fund?
Well, no, what our idea sets up is basically the same. The money that is collected under our Easy Pass proposal would go to the federal government. So the entity, it would not be a private company that would be collecting. A private company may manage that, but the federal government would go into a special fund that would be administered by a federal state partnership. Same system that's used today between, you know, the federal government and the state of Wisconsin setting the priorities on the federal road and that money going back. So we would be changing it to be a federally administrated and managed system.
Well, it looks like we have another Ian with us in West Bend. Hi.
Hi. I'm 25, and I guess I've spent the better part of the last 7 years driving around the country. And I guess I wonder what the cost to the state would be of instituting a toll system, because looking at states like Illinois, they've had their toll system for a while, and their roads actually kind of seem to be worse than ours in Wisconsin and a lot of the highways around the country. And I guess it just seems more logical to me that taxing gas or a base user tax would make a lot more sense and be easier to put into place.
All right. Dennis?
We support Ian's idea there. I think the user fee or the gas tax would be the way to go to increase that. But we just recognize that the way the government works today, it's going to be very difficult to get that approved. We continue to lobby for that, and we think it's important to do that. But in the end, recognizing that that may never get through, we look at the tolls and say it's a way to reinvest in our roads.
Our next caller is Tom in Green Bay. Hello, Tom.
Hi, good morning. As far as I'm concerned, is a toll system is a tax system. If you guys are Republicans, I think you're just basically shifting it to pay as you go, just like everything else. The other thing is I live in Green Bay, and they're putting in this huge interchange system, which is a bunch of bridges, which down the road, it's costing a fortune to put in, and it's going to cost a fortune to maintain down the road. Our system needs to be simpler. I don't care if a semi goes off the road because they drive too fast around the corner. That's their problem. Not. I don't think solving it by putting in these big interchanges is the way to go.
Dennis, can you address this?
Well, I do recognize that a toll system is a tax system. I just, you know, one of those things is how are you going to pay for your roads? First of all, your existing road system you have today has to be maintained, and the trust fund right now will not do that. So we're going to pay for these roads one way or the other. We look at a toll system as one opportunity to do that. We would favor a user fee to do that, but we would go with a toll system. I'm not familiar with the interchange that Tom's talking about in Green Bay, but I know a lot of studies get done on what is the safest way to do things, and a lot of interchanges are being done right now to look at it and say, and the existing interchange was done for a certain life capacity. We've reached that capacity, and it's time to look to the future on what that road will do. And when they do that, they start to look at the safety features and say, we don't want certain exits any longer. We want the tractor to come on easier. We don't want trucks going off the road. And one way to do that is putting a different kind of interchange in.
Mm-hmm. Anything on this, Nick?
No, I just totally agree there with Dennis. As far as the federal standards have been studied, and safety is paramount in our engineering and designing of our highways.
Next we go to Dee in Cameron. Hello, Dee.
Hello. One comment that I wanted to make in terms of doing this as a national toll road system is that I think that while they're collecting the toll and a user fee is a good idea, I also think, though, that it should be geared to your income level. And the way to do that, of course, is at the end of the year to provide things like a tax credit on your income tax, depending on where you are on your income level and how much you use the toll road. I would support something like that. I think that basically using a toll road system is a regressive form of tax, and it really is a big tax on the middle class, middle income levels.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks very much for the call, Dee. Any reaction, Nick?
Yeah, the design of the system that we've kind of proposed and the idea that we have, it has some variable pricing in it. And specifically what we were looking at is the more urban congested areas as opposed to, you know, your western, midwestern, Kansas, Montana states, and that there would be some flexibility there and variability in what you would charge in that section of the road. Also importantly, too, you would only charge what you need to make the repairs. So if you have repairs in a specific area that's needed, the charges would be reflective on being able to collect over the long term to meet those needs, you know, as opposed to a Kansas or a Wyoming kind of the long haul. Those charges would be applicable to what the needs to maintain those roads would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just wrap up here. Nick, first, are you hopeful that some sort of national toll system can be put in place?
Well, I'm hopeful that the elected officials will address the transportation needs of the country. Throughout the debate on the fiscal cliff and the discussion, transportation investments, the jobs that are created are at the center of the discussion. Whether it's a toll, whether it's Easy Pass, whether it's a user fee, I think there's broad bipartisan recognition that we need to make investment in this country so we can be competitive and continue to grow our economy.
Yeah, and Dennis, do you envision one day we will have electronic toll roads across the entire nation?
I think maybe into the future we will have that, but it'll be part of a solution, as Nick said, with other things, with registration fees and also the user fee, the gas tax will be there too. I think Congress has recognized the need to have a healthy, well-funded infrastructure, and now they're examining those solutions that are out there. And I do think, as the president also pushed for the $50 billion in infrastructure funding, that they will find that solution.
I want to thank both of you very much for being with us. Dennis Slater is the president of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, a Milwaukee-based trade group that represents major road building firms and other equipment manufacturing companies. And Nick Yaksich was vice president of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. They were involved in this study that was looking into how to fund the nation's transportation needs. And one of the options is electronic toll roads for the nation's interstate system. We will have our Monday morning wake-up call coming up in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It is time now for our Monday morning wake-up call, and we'll get to it in just a moment. Another wake-up call is that we have a winter storm warning for much of southern Wisconsin that will be kicking in later today. Snow developing in western Wisconsin today. It's going to be moving to the east. Heavy snow overnight and tomorrow. Windy. We can expect, before this is over, for much of south central and southeastern Wisconsin, anywhere from 6 to 12 inches of snow. So another one is on the way. But today, our Monday morning wake-up call is on safe computing. Wisconsin Public Radio's Director of Engineering and Operations, Steve Johnston, sent out an email last week to Wisconsin Public Radio staff to remind us to watch out for computer viruses. And we thought that we would share his warning and his advice with you during this Monday morning wake-up call. Good morning, Steve.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks a lot for joining us. So, first off, the fact that this email went out means that some of us smart people here at Wisconsin Public Radio have been clicking on links we shouldn't be clicking on?
Yeah, I guess I have to admit that I don't send it out until somebody's had a painful experience, but it's a good reminder to everyone when somebody gets caught.
Yeah, so what's going on with these emails? We get an email from someone who just wants to cause trouble?
Well, it seems to be there's several reasons. It's maliciousness, maybe, at part, and but there's also a money-making enterprise that goes on where people want to falsely direct people to websites where they can charge a few cents each time somebody visits, and if they get thousands or hopefully millions in their part, they make a bundle.
Yeah, I know. I've been getting a number of these solicitations or whatever they are. So-and-so will say, click on this link to see those photos you want.
Oh, it can be very devious, very much. It looks very normal. You know, it seems to come from someone you know. It seems to come from an enterprise that you've done business with. But so often they are false.
Yeah. So what do you mean by safe computing?
Well, I'm drawing a medical analogy, to be blunt, safe sex, you know, where you try to be preventive in your behaviors. It's much easier to avoid catching the virus than the struggle to fight it afterwards.
Yeah, so the main point is, if you get something, even if it's from supposedly from someone I know, don't click on the link.
Don't be too naive about it. There's a good chance that if it smells funny, if it seems a little off, that it is off. It is not what you expect. The most normal way that these viruses are propagated is through email attachments, a file that's been hooked onto the email for you to read or view in some program, or now quite commonly in a clickable link in the email that says, click here to see the photos, as in your example.
Yeah, so what happens if we did click here to see those photos?
Well, in the best circumstance, your virus scanning program, which hopefully you're running, would say, whoa, Nelly, don't go there, you know, give you some kind of warning. But I don't have a lot of confidence in virus scanning programs. I would say the one I like the best is a free one. It's known as Microsoft Security Essentials. It's a free download. But they all do a fair job at catching things. But if it looks good enough for you to click on, a lot of times it looks good enough to that scanning software as well. So if you do go ahead and get an attack, it might be that it directs you to a website where you you sort of lose control of your computer, it seems like, and things start to run, and you visit websites that you didn't intend to. And in the worst-case scenario, it begins to destroy material on your hard drive or maybe networked hard drives, and you actually lose data. And so you've got a screwed-up computer as well as having some loss.
So what should we indeed get some sort of virus scanning program?
I believe so. I believe so. They're not perfect, though. I just wanted to emphasize not to place your total reliance on them.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if we should even be sending out emails that have attachments on them if this is the way they transfer these viruses.
Well, it's they'll follow whatever technology is current. The earliest viruses were transmitted through floppy disks, which a lot of people don't even hardly remember anymore. But there are also viruses now that move on the memory sticks, the flash memory cards.
Yeah. So what is the, what should we, in terms of safe computing, are there some particular viruses that are out there right now that are that we should be watchful for?
I don't know of any that are particularly troublesome right now. There's thousands, though, that can bother you. It's an amazing long list of things that are currently propagating, and they last a long time. I wonder sometimes if the creators of the viruses really meant for them to last decades, but some of them seem to be around for a long time.
What should we do if we think our computer may be infected?
Well, if you think you have suffered an attack right at that moment when you think you're being attacked, I would argue in favor of just turning your computer off by removing the power, because almost nothing you do, they've expected your moves. You know, they've predicted what people would typically try to do, shut down these various programs, close these browser windows, and they're going to counter that. So if you cut the power, you can sometimes avoid further damage and bring it up again and let your virus software try to remove it. You can also try to avoid, when you do get an attachment, let's say, avoid clicking it directly, but copy it to your hard drive and let your virus scanning software have a chance to look at it rather than directly running it from the email.
Mm-hmm. So if our computers are acting funny and we've actually, been infected by a virus, what's the answer there?
Well, that's the most challenging scenario, but I would open the software that you have for virus prevention and fixing. And there's usually what's known as a full scan or complete scan or something like that. Run that. Of course, I got to admit, though, a lot of these viruses know better than to let you run the software, and they'll actually block you from running your preventive software.
Oh, no. So we have just a minute to go, Steve. Apparently, this can really wreak havoc with, especially an organization that has lots of computers.
That's true. And when they start to propagate over a network, say in an office setting, and in our case at Wisconsin Public Radio, we did suffer recently a little bit of an attack. Just one user clicking one link led to infection of four different computers, and the initial assault on the network drive full of important files.
So I guess the bottom line is don't click on that that link.
That's right. Be suspicious, I think, is my main message. Be aware of what you're doing. And as this user said, the one that had the trouble recently, I sort of thought maybe it wasn't right.
Yeah. So, yeah, trust your instinct there.
That's right.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Steve Johnston, Director of Engineering and Operations at Wisconsin Public Radio, issuing today's Monday morning wake-up call on safe computing. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. The State Capitol Report is next, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.